This is the National Public Broadcast of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman. The following lecture, titled Faith and Devotion to Family, A Better Life is Near, was recorded Sunday, July the 5th, 1998, at the Ramada Inn in Harvey, Illinois. The lecturer is Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman, and now Imam Muhammad.
You can get them back to what they should, what they were when God made them. And that's what it's all about. Structures. Structures that God made, that this material universe supports and promotes and preserves and survives by preserving or promoting that. How this world survives and protects itself, keeps itself, and promotes itself. Don't you know everything is undergoing stages of change for the better? For the better. Everything. Now that tells us God is a good God. Science tells us that originally people weren't Homo sapiens. Science says this. Not that we buy it, but I'm telling you, I'm giving you the logic. We buy the logic, but not necessarily the explanation. Religious people. We buy the logic. The logic is that you weren't always capable and resourceful and productive as you are now. That you once existed on a much lower scale in the evolution of life. And that in that lower scale of evolution of life, you were like a primitive animal. An animal. A weak animal. That's what scientists say. Darwin theory, whatever you want to call it. That's what scientists say, okay? Now, what does scripture say? Scripture says that originally we were created weak. Originally, we were created weak. So God says we were created weak originally. But he says we were created also for growth, progress, and promotion. We were created for growth, progress, and promotion. So we're not going to always be in that weak stage that God created us in. We are going to grow and develop into stronger and more resourceful and more productive life. And that's what science says, and that's what scripture says. So we are a life that's constantly being promoted. And if we understand, we need to be aware of structures as they are existing in the system of matter that God made, and how they are supported and preserved and promoted in that system. Structures. My life, my human life is a structure. Community life is another structure for human life to realize growth and possibilities that are in us waiting for the right kind of environmental situation for us to realize them. So we get the right environmental situation, we can realize this great potential in us, this great capacity, a great potential of human life. Yes. So life is promotional. Life is the growth. It's growth. It's developmental. And if you are hung up on racial identity and you're not thinking with common sense, not using the powers of the human intellect, not engaging this world, this great world of material things, to know how to relate to it, how to live with it, and how to benefit from it without bringing harm to yourself or your family or your society, but bringing benefits, realizing benefits. If you are not having that kind of mind and you are hung up on your identity, you're a race, you're a black man, you're an African, you're a white man, you're European, whatever, you're an Englishman. If you're hung up on that identity and you're not engaging this universe with your intellect as God wants you to engage it, you are going to be left out. You are most likely, you're already left out, but you are going to be eliminated because God is marshaling mankind, his life, is marshaling his life, is making him come together to see each other, to recognize the common life and the common goal or the common purpose or the common destiny for the human spirit. God is marshaling the human beings together. He made this world so the ocean is not too wide to keep us separated. Huh? No, he didn't make the ocean too wide to keep us separated. No, he knew that he created the man with a desire, with a spirit of desire, and with a brain that would enable him to cross the ocean and shake hands with his brother that he never saw before. Discover a member of his human race that he didn't know exists. Don't you know the world, the known world, before 1492? That's our history in America. They did not know these people we call American Indians existed. They didn't even know they existed. So here is God. God created the world and the human brain and the human spirit to be able to support each other. So the earth supports the human being and the human spirit with wood. The man see a log, a dead piece of wood floating on the water and see a bird riding it. He said, hey, maybe I can make me something to ride that water. So he makes him something and ride the water. Where he got it from? He got it from the bird riding the dead branch. Huh? No, he got it from God, who created the water, created the dead branch to float on the water, created the bird to light on the dead branch, and to give man a message to his mind, hell, make you a boat and cross that water. Hold me down, baby. Oh, Lordy, Lordy, Lordy. Now, that's what gives me the Holy Ghost. That's what gives me the Holy Ghost. Hey, 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 hey. That's what gives me the Holy Ghost. God says in the scripture, we have made no just estimation of God. We have terribly underestimated God. That's what the scripture says, and I'm a witness. So scripture tells us that God has a definite plan for human beings. And it's to be realized in this earth. That's why he made us in the heaven and put us in the earth. It's to be realized in this earth. We are to find our ends, our goals, our ultimate life. We are to find it on this earth. And we are to find it with our wives, with our children, with our neighbors, with our community. That's how we define it. God has decided that. We can't get around it. We have to stop being so hung up on just ourselves. The world of commercial consumerism, commercial life, consumerism, is pulling us apart, pulling us apart. But this is a challenge. I think this is God's will. I don't think this is a curse. Oh, we have to just meet the challenge. We have to measure up to the challenge. Commercial world is so complex, and it's appealing to our appetites and giving us appetites we never dreamed we would ever have. And it's entertaining our minds, occupying our time. Just to take care of our families, we have to work sometimes two shifts, two jobs, at least one and a half, or one and a piece job, whole job and a piece of job. Some of us have to work two. Sometimes we have two or three workers in the house, and all of them have to work full-time and part-time just to take care of the bills and keep that house nice. So they're busy. Here's the commercial life taxing our life and taxing our time so much that we get a kiss on the run. You're brushing your teeth, and you say, wipe a little toothpaste off. Okay, baby, see you later. Catch you in the morning. I'll see you in the morning. The wipe a little toothpaste off. You don't want to put the toothpaste on my mouth. Okay, baby. And you lie in the bed watching TV. Right? Yeah, I know what you do. I know what you do. I'm human. I'm human like you are. I know what you do. You lie in the bed watching TV. And you should be watching each other. You should turn off the TV and say, we ain't got no time for no TV. In the morning, we're going to be ripping and running. We ain't got time to even speak to each other, holler in the morning. And say, we got time to watch this TV. Let's look at each other, sweetheart. They'll cut that TV off and just look at each other. If you ain't got nothing to say, hell, let us lay down in the bed with your dumb selves and just look at each other. Maybe just looking at each other will put some thoughts in your head, you know? But there you got an alien in the house. An alien in the house. Ain't even human. Got all of y'all, entertain all of y'all. And you talking to it too, you talking to that alien. Yeah, okay. I knew that was gonna happen. Hey, get him, move it, hey, kill him, shoot him, hey. Oh, don't do her like that. Don't do her like that. I'm going to put her down. I ain't watch this show no more. Got all that conversation with an alien called television. And the member of your species laying there neglected. I know it's not that bad for all of us. But that bad for too many of us. Yeah, we have to strengthen the family. And the only way to strengthen the family is to make the family more important than these possessions. Hey, get out of my refrigerator. I heard that now, little boy. Get out of my refrigerator. I was thinking, well, I said, what do you mean, get out of my refrigerator? The refrigerator got food in that all of us eat. All of us eat the food in that refrigerator. So why she keep saying, my refrigerator? So I was a protester when I was a young man, boy. I say, the family would be much more happy if you stop saying my refrigerator and say our refrigerator. Get off my couch! Mama, we'd like to see this couch clean, but if you stop saying my couch and start saying get off of our couch, you want to keep it nice, you'd probably get better results. And we did. And that's what I taught my family. And we've gotten better results. See, we've become too selfish, too possessive. And that's this commercial consumerism world. Yeah, just consume and possess. And you know, I guess nature got something to do with it too, aging. Because you ain't got faith in God to help keep up your life and keep you healthy, keep you thinking positively and in a healthy way, you just get sick. So I believe just aging got something to do with it. Because I've seen people 25 years old, beautiful. 28 years old, beautiful. 30 years old, starting to get a little ugly. And I ain't talking about physically ugly. 40 years old, getting real ugly now. Getting cold. Used to be nice. And getting possessive. Getting real possessive. Good God Almighty. Don't throw that out. Been looking at this thing for 20 years in this house. Nobody have used it for 20 years. And I can't get $5 for it at the pawn shop, the junkyard, nowhere. It ain't got no value. It's just occupying space. Leave that alone. That's mine. Don't touch it. That's mine. Don't touch it. Too possessive. Now I know this is striking the quick of some of you. I know you're cutting right down to that nerve. I know it. But this is help. When you go to the doctor say, hey, this going to cut to the nerve now. And I done put all kind of dentin in here, but still you might feel it a little bit. But after it's all over, you're going to be in much better condition. And that's what we want. That's what we want. We don't mind a little pain if we're going to feel better later and won't have to suffer that problem. So we want strong and better families. And I don't know any way to invite you to become strong and better families without pointing out to you the things that weaken families and hurt families and push members of the family away from each other. So we don't want anything pushing us away from each other. The television, the material things that we love in the house, we don't want wealth or anything else pushing us away from each other. And if those things are doing that, then we have to use our human intelligence and examine it, study those things, and study their value to us as human beings and as families. Study their value to us and put those things in their proper place again. No, they ain't number one. God is number one. They ain't number two. My life is number two. My family is number two. So they must be number three or four or five or six or seven or eight or something. Put them in that proper place so we can keep the human life and the family life in good tact, in good shape, and in good health. So we can prosper here and have a good life and meet each other and not hurt each other. Don't you know a lot of killing in the street is because there's killing in the house? Yeah. Somebody in the house just killed my feelings. Just killed my feelings. Treat me so bad I ain't got no human feeling anymore. I go out there and kill somebody for $50. Because my human feelings were killed in my house by somebody that didn't have any feelings for me. Allahu Akbar. So I want to invite you today to just study everything again. Those important things to you. Especially if you're having difficulty with those things. Study them again. Look at them again. Try to see them anew with a fresh sight, with fresh eyes. See them anew and put things in their proper place and put God first and above everything. And respect everything that God has created to be respected. Everything. And I don't know anything that God created that he didn't say he created it for respect. He created everything to have a respect. If you don't respect the Muslims don't eat pig, but if you don't respect the pig, you're missing something in your religion. God created the pig. That's an animal. Now, if you're driving down the road and the pig is in the road, you shouldn't say ain't nothing but a pig. I don't care if I hit it or not. You should be as careful not to hit that pig as you would be not to hit a lamb. Because God created that life too. Thank you very much, and I'm going to leave you right now, but let's meet again soon because we got a lot to talk about. Peace. As-salamu alaykum.
We will return to today's broadcast after this important announcement. Imam W.D. Muhammad will be making appearances throughout the country, and those wishing to support his mission of propagation and community assistance are asked to send their contributions made payable to Ministry of W.D. Muhammad and mail to Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. And now back to today's program.
First of all, hats off to Mr. Hassan and others like you that are able to put together things such as we'll be going on here in Fayetteville this weekend, the first business investment conference on CPC. But not only that, looking at the type of leadership that you are providing, period, you're going to be at Duke University on Wednesday at 7:30. Duke University obviously is a major institution of higher learning in our country and in our state. What about that? I mean, perhaps 30 years ago, a man of your stature, simply because of ethnicity as well as your religious beliefs, would not have been welcome at a Duke University, but now you are. Is that a good sign? I mean, what is your analysis of what's happening with America in regards to that?
Well, we're living in a changing world, you know. We still have racism. We still have racists. We still have what they call institutional racism. We have some problems, race situation. But we have most of the leaders of the society standing firmly against racism, and that's African Americans and also European Americans. And we're not seeing the problem so much as race anymore, as it is the problem of people freeing themselves up from prejudices and ideas that the world is closed, locked, and they can't get in. The good opportunities are not for them as they are for other people. There's a rising belief. Everybody from the grassroots level to the top, there's a rising belief that the world has changed internationally to favor anybody having a chance to establish themselves financially in any other way, if they would just devote themselves to that and believe that the world is situated good now for all people to present what they have and prove themselves. And that's all we want, a chance to present what we have and prove ourselves. And my message is accepted at Duke and many other fine institutions of learning because those institutions also recognize that there's a new world situation, and humanity has become one community, or as they say, the global village. We have become citizens in the global village, and we have to recognize that and move forward with the recognition of that reality. And I think that's why I'm invited to do.
Yes, sir. And we have as our guest by phone today, Imam W.D. Muhammad. He's going to be in town this weekend, and we want you to have an opportunity for Free Ignition to hear him expound on the topic of Rise to the Challenge of Leadership. That's going to be at the Felton J. Capel Arena, Feather State University off of Langdon Street. And that's going to be at 2 p.m. on this Sunday, February the 15th. Also, he's going to be in town this weekend, and it's going to be a conference on Saturday, the 14th, out to the Howard Johnsons. And I want you to do give them a call. Call 822-8119 to find out more information about that, and just ask for Mr. David Hassan. Imam Muhammad, when we talk about change in America, I wonder what part will the academic community play into this change? I mean, is the academic community, in your opinion, probably a fertile ground for breaking down some of the barriers in the past? You know, if we go to institutions of higher learning, whatever it is that where we need to begin with some of these college youngsters, and perhaps that's where some change can probably more likely to happen at?
In Muslim community, the Islamic community started about 1,400 years ago, 14 centuries ago. And what made it spread all over the world and become strong and convert governments and nations to it was its the lead it took in education.
Mm-hmm.
And when we look at the rise of any society or civilization, we see that education has played the major role in bringing that civilization to be recognized by the world. And I would say that there is nothing more precious than the heart and the intellect of man. And education is the food that we need, or the supplies that we need to give the brain, the intellect, power. We need to empower our minds. And if we empower our minds, then we can empower our communities. The academic interest is sacred for all Muslims and sacred for Christians.
Yes, sir. Also, you know, you talked about the global village that we live in now, and certainly there are disturbing information. There is disturbing information of what may be appearing to happen in the Middle East right now. There are many of us that view that, yes, as a very strong economic issue because of the natural resources there in that region. However, there is another side to that, in that we have the introduction into a lot of homes then a religious issue because of the faith of the Iraqi, Kuwaiti, Saudi Arabia, that whole region. And I just wonder, how would that play into the mix of economics globally, as well as the perception of a lot of people in the world with the faith of Islam?
Yes, well there is a problem for the Muslim society of the world, economically speaking, in terms of economics. There is a problem, a serious problem. For example, in Palestine, I visited the occupied lands of Palestine.
Yes, sir.
I don't consider myself to be a person who is anti-Semitic or against Jews. In fact, I see them as our kindred people in faith, the faith of Abraham, the prophet Abraham that we both believe in, both groups believe in. But at the same time, I strongly disapprove of the conduct of the Israeli government and how it occupies the land and restricts the freedom of the Palestinian people who are Muslims. But that's not the point. It's not the point whether they are Christians or Muslims. They are human. And that's our concern, that human beings shouldn't be mistreated. We know that those people have a tradition of respect for industry and the life of society. They are great masons. In fact, I'm told that most of the buildings that are built, in even in the Israeli, by the Israelis, the Palestinians, represents that workforce that does most of the masonry for the Palestinian people, the government. And they are people who are very good in business. They have great market sense and great market spirit. And all of that's hurt by what is happening there in Palestine, the occupation of their land and their territories by the Israelis. I've been there and I visited them. I was in Israel, and I hope to go again. And I find that the Israeli people themselves, they're just like any other people. They're fine people. But it's that regime, it's that government that is very hard. And I saw demonstrations there against the government by Jewish people. So it's not the Americans to be aware of that, too, that even the Jews, also, many Jews are against. In fact, I would think if a popular vote was taken right now, that government would not be popular. It would be unpopular. In its own people or for the Israelis themselves, it would be an unpopular government. But the international situation is very delicate, and our country is involved in protecting what it considers to be its interests, our interests, so far that has been met. That Israel is greatly outnumbered by its neighbors, so Israel should be trampled. Israel receives so much help to balance the situation there. And I think it's really out of balance. I think Israel gets too much, and I'm just one of in the majority that feels that way. I mean Americans and also Muslims.
Yes, sir.
So it does affect the economic situation for Muslims around the world, because if Palestine was not in that situation, we could import. Palestinians produce many fine products, and we could import and export. We could export to them from the U.S. I'm talking about us, CCC, our effort, our business effort.
Yes, sir.
We could be right now engaging in trade with them if that situation didn't exist.
And I think you bring out a very interesting point. And again, you know, because you are one that you are a world traveler with international renown, you understand the global economy and the impact of just looking beyond next door. And I think that I guess the question would be, is that really what it's going to take? We're going to have to raise the consciousness of our community, and I'm primarily speaking of the African-American community now, to begin to think globally, because things are of such a global nature.
Well, I couldn't agree more with you, Terry, and we appreciate you very much because we think your program does exactly that. You raise the consciousness of the listener so that we need the light on in our life. We need the light on our country, too. We need to do it in a positive way so that... if we are agreeing or knocking against, it is to make ourselves better as citizens of America and to contribute to the world situation so that the whole world gets better.
Yes, sir. And again, to anyone, I hope that you will have an opportunity to be at the Felton J. Capel Arena at Felton State University on Sunday at 2 p.m., and that's going to be this February 15th. Drop by. And listen to remarks, presentation, or if you will, by Imam W.D. Muhammad, American Muslim Society spokesman.
Join us next time for the national public broadcast of Imam W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman. For more on the ministry of Imam Muhammad, call 1-708-201-9692. All right, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For WDM Publications, call 1-708-862-7733. All right, Post Office Box 1944, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.